welcome here to the Clay Edwards Show on WYAB 103.9. I don't sound like Clay, because I am, in fact, not Clay. If you were listening just earlier, my name is Matthew Bishop. I'm the host of the Full Story on here on WYAB. And Clay's going to be in just a little bit later, but I do have Clay's common collaborator, Sean, here. So welcome to the show, Sean.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, turn your mic up there.
Yeah, okay.
I'm usually by myself here, so...
Trying to get it all worked out together.
Yeah, absolutely. Want to make sure what mic you're on here. There we go. Can you hear yourself?
A little bit.
No. There we go.
Okay.
There we go. Yep. All right. We're gonna get there, guys.
Okay.
Like I said, usually don't have a co-host with me here in the morning, so it's kind of a learning experience. But one thing here is
I really need to learn to work the board one day, so when this happens,
yeah,
I can do it.
Well, they've gone advanced on me. Like when I was here last time, it was like this old timey board from like the '70s, and I'm pretty sure it still had cocaine in it.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Tim Wade's cocaine was left over.
Exactly, it was, right? Yeah. And now it's like this nice fancy board and everything with lights. It's like, so it took me a minute to even learn how to get it.
Right.
So I'm sure most of the listeners know, Sean, that you were a prosecutor for a while?
Yeah, in Hinds County for a decade, and then I worked at the Attorney General's office.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's very rare, you know. I'm glad to have another prosecutor, because I was also a prosecutor for a little over 7.5 years with the Army. So I don't know if you really want to listen to, you know, two lawyers speaking, but, you know. But since we have an opportunity to have two attorneys on here, on my show, I've talked a lot about the Donald Trump case. And, of course, this week, the big thing is having his former personal attorney, Cohen, on the they're currently calling him today. They called him yesterday. The prosecution is going to finish. I believe they're going to finish their direct examination with him today. And the cross should start today as well, if not early tomorrow. But this is apparently their apex of their case. This is supposed to be their star witness. And we talked on my show the other day about the whole history with Cohen. He has quite the history himself. But what are kind of your thoughts on just Cohen generally? I'm sure you've been following the case, and
yeah.
What are some of your thoughts, Sean?
Well, I think, you know, all of America knows that, you know, who Michael Cohen is, right?
Right.
I mean, when you're called the fixer, I think that, you know, there's a connotation to that, obviously, that he's had. And then I believe his conviction was for lying to Congress. Was that correct? I think.
Yeah. So he's had several convictions. So one of those was that. He also had a conviction for lying on, essentially, he got a home equity loan where he lied about the value of his home to get a $500,000
right.
equity loan, which $130,000 of that $500,000 was used to pay Stormy Daniels. But he also has a conviction for illegal campaign contribution. And we were just talking before the show, because that's the interesting part. You know, we talked about how this case can kind of play out, because to me, that's sort of the interesting part about this case, is that a lot of the stuff that was happening was not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
NDA, not illegal. Having sex with a porn star, maybe immoral, not illegal.
Sure.
You can do it all you want. But the illegal part that they found with Cohen was not that he was making these NDAs. He was creating this, you know, these shell companies to pay it. That's all shady stuff, but completely legal. The problem was that essentially, because it may have affected the election, it essentially amounted to a illegal campaign contribution,
right.
Which again has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Yeah, and also, you know, I find it telling that the feds chose not to prosecute this.
Yeah.
And considering, I mean, we know they'll prosecute anything else related to him, so it's not like they wouldn't. They thought it was a viable case, I think they would have taken it.
Right.
But they didn't do that. So now you have Alvin Bragg, who's the district attorney of Manhattan, taking it on. And he's obviously an elected official. It's not like he's a federal prosecutor.
Right.
And I think a lot of these cases are that you see that are brought by elected officials are the weakest ones, if you've noticed that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for reasons that we all know. I mean, they're doing this for politics, and they've got a base they want to support. Now, this case specifically, to me, is the weakest of all. If you're going to put all the Trump cases together, you
right.
know, this is the really bad one. And what I mean by that is that they've tacked a state crime, which is, I think, falsifying business records, onto a federal campaign finance. And I've just never seen that done before. Now, maybe some other lawyer has seen that happen in the prosecution. I don't know. There isn't much I haven't seen in the prosecution sector, which I've seen a lot. But I've never seen that happen before. And I mean, yeah. So maybe somebody else has, and they can give me an example of that. I don't know. Have you ever seen that before?
Yeah, you know, when I used to train prosecutors, one thing I'd always just tell them is, you know, as a prosecutor, you don't get creative as a prosecutor, right?
You dumb it down. That's what I always say. Too.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you charge people with a crime, because A, people have to know what crimes they're violating, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to like go into this very like trying to just reach and create these weird laws to say, hey, you violated. And we saw, you know, with it, we saw the Supreme Court take argument on the January 6th prosecutors. So essentially, they charged them with violating the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, mm-hmm. Which was created after Enron and all that other stuff to say, hey, they tried to stop an official proceeding, right? Mm-hmm. Which, again, was created so people couldn't just hide evidence. And they, again, trying to be creative, these liberal prosecutors to me are just trying to be creative and finding these laws that, hey, you violated this just for political purposes, and you don't want to be creative as a prosecutor. I'm sure, you know, your time as a prosecutor, probably the same.
No, I mean, you want to keep things as simple as you can for the jury. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way.
Right.
Like, it's just, but, you know, most people don't deal with law every day. Mm-hmm. So you give them this huge indictment with all these counts on it and all these confusing laws. And a lot of times they've, you know, they simply get confused by it. And I'll give you an example just on a simple crime.
Yeah.
You know, I had a case one time I was trying. It was a house burglary case. Mm-hmm. Kid breaks into the house. The police are called. He doesn't take anything out of the house, and he runs out the house. He gets arrested. He won't plead guilty, so we have a trial.
Mm-hmm.
The jury goes out, and we get a note. I've kept a note. I got a scrapbook of my jury notes just for this is a pretty good reference for this. And it said, the foreman said, we cannot come to a verdict because one of the jury members, and like in quotes, like kind of saying this person's an idiot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, because they were mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't believe that going into a house and not taking anything constitutes house burglary. Right. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Which we both know that obviously it does. And, but I mean, that's something that simple as a house burglary could be confusing to even one juror. So when you take cases like this and you try to dissect them as a prosecutor, I think it's very difficult.
Yeah. You know, the thing here is that, you know, I've said this with Donald Trump is that there is no undecided person on Donald Trump, right? This whole election, right? There is no such thing as an undecided voter coming up here. Like I said, obviously, you know, this was a political, essentially a political persecution by Alvin Bragg to try to make himself seem more important.
Sure.
You know, I tried to say, okay, you know, there's this political, but let's look at the legality of it.
Right.
And you know, you're telling me, you know, right before the show that, you know, hey, you know, you're a Democrat, right? You're a left-leaning guy.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at this just from the facts, right? That's how I always break it down and say, hey, before we even have an opinion, let's look at the facts. Mm-hmm. And that's where this case fails. A, you know, you have just the fact that what Cohen did was, again, illegal campaign contribution and those kind of things, not the NDA. B, like taking this federal case and trying to charge it in a district attorney's office is just unheard of.
Insane, right?
Yeah.
It's basically insane. It's I think, you know, I know a lot of people, and I agree with what you're saying, that there's no undecided. It's, well, there may be undecided about whether you're going to vote for Robert Kennedy, kind of where I'm at right now. And so everybody has a feeling about this case, which was one of the things I thought was interesting, how they even got a jury so quickly. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were going to be able to do that. I feel like some people probably weren't being very truthful during that, because I don't know that there's – for one thing, and you know how when you do voir dire, you ask, you know, have you heard about the case?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody, I'm sure, raised their hand during that process.
Of course.
And then, you know, the next question is, have you formed an opinion about the case? Well, who hasn't?
Exactly.
I mean, in this country, who hasn't?
Yeah.
And based upon that opinion, can you be a fair and impartial juror?
Mm-hmm.
I just have that hard time believing that many people raise their hand saying I can be fair and impartial when it regards to either way you go, you know, like
absolutely
for him or against him. So I think that's difficult. And, you know, here we are now with this. I do think, though, you know, it's going to be interesting today to see what the defense's strategy is on cross-examination, because, you know, like you and I were discussing before the show came on, I don't know anybody in America that doesn't think this didn't happen. I think we're kind of past that point. Like Donald Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels. Who cares? I don't care. You don't care. I mean, some people may care, but you know, I don't care.
Again, that's a moral question, not a legal question.
Not a legal one.
Yeah.
Michael Cohen paid her money to sign an NDA, and she did that, which is common. People do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was reimbursed by his employer, which is Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are the facts. Those happened. So how do you attack him I mean, when you say he's a liar, I guess you can do that. But, I mean, we're not really disputing that this event occurred. Maybe some things he's saying are lies, you know. But the actual genesis of it, I think it's true. So I guess my defense would be more like, this is BS.
Right.
You know, like, that'd be my defense.
But yeah, exactly.
Like a jury nullification kind of thing, I guess.
Right. Well, you know, even to me, even with jury nullification, you have to at least violate a crime to even have to even have jury nullification.
Right. I mean, I guess you could go, you know, your strategy on defense is when the prosecution arrests either today or tomorrow, you know, you're going to ask for a directed verdict,
yeah,
obviously. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like this judge is going to go for that.
Oh, no.
But
and that's the other thing, you know, with this case. And, you know, I don't want to link Donald Trump with people like Weinstein who was the other actor? I can't remember his name.
Kevin Spacey?
No, the black actor, I can't remember. From the 80s. Big one. Anyway, both their convictions were recently
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby, yeah. And so I don't want to link, you know, yeah. I don't want to put Donald Trump in the same sentence as those two people.
Yeah, he was having consensual sex. Trump was.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that, you know, the other guys were a little out there.
But the thing with their cases is that both of their cases have recently been overturned,
sure,
because of stuff that the prosecution was not supposed to be doing, allowing in or trying to get in evidence they shouldn't get in, and then B, the judge allowing this stuff in, which again, trust me, you know, those two guys are guilty of sin.
Yeah.
And they're both really, really bad dudes, especially Weinstein. Like, that guy's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
These cases get overturned. And what I like to say as a prosecutor is like, hey, we don't rent convictions, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not my job to try to get every single little piece in. It's my job to have a clean trial.
Yeah.
But maybe it's impossible to have a clean trial with this. I don't know.
It's hard. It's hard in any case, don't you think, sometimes? Because, you know, when you're a prosecutor, you're in the heat of the moment. I've been guilty of this many times, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I want to win.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're at that moment.
Yeah.
And it's hard to describe to, if you're not a trial lawyer in the courtroom, it's just a different environment where you kind of sometimes thinking goes out the window. It's, it's a chess game. And so I think, you know, right now the prosecutor's thinking, we want to win.
Right.
And we'll worry about the appellate court later.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing what they're thinking.
Well, especially with the election, right? Because
they
know no appeals court is going to be able to hear it. Of course, they rushed to get to this case, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, doing some dubious things to even get it there. But like I said, all they care about is getting that conviction. And then, hey, it's going to take 2 or 3 years, you know, if not more, for the appellate courts, which, hey, the election's in a few months. So
right. So then they get their conviction. Maybe it gets overturned later, but they get to say they got a conviction. Now, I don't know that they're gonna, you know, I know a lot of people, especially on the right, are thinking, well, it's in New York, so he's gonna be definitely convicted. I don't know that I believe that necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know how it is, all you need is one.
Yep.
All you need is one.
Yep.
And there could be somebody on that jury that's gonna look at this and be like, I mean, this is BS, kind of way we're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I'm not a Trump guy. I'm just, if I was on the jury,
right,
I'd vote not guilty.
Just from a legal perspective.
Just legal perspective, I'm not
yeah.
going to vote guilty. And so I think you might be surprised that somebody on there may feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be able to come to a verdict that easy. But I could be wrong. Maybe they'll convict him right away.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I think I agree. I think some people are going to try to automatically, just because, again, I think not everybody in that jury is going to be, was completely truthful in voir dire. And it's very good to be back here in Mississippi where people say voir dire.
Yeah, voir dire.
You know,
I know. I've had so many people, friends of mine around the country, try to correct me on that.
You know,
I also say defendant. You know?
Yeah.
And so I say it in the Southern way.
When I first tried my case in the Army, I'd only gone to law school at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to my first thing and I said voir dire, and I just got made fun of. They're like,
right, what are you saying right now?
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't even teach you how to say that in law school because they don't go that far, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You learn how to try a case once you actually become a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's what I've,
exactly,
from my experience.
Okay, so we're going to take our first break here. But if you want to call in, the number is 601-879-0002. You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show here on WYAB 103.9. Show on WYAB 103.9. If you're just tuning in, again, I do not have the voice of a one Clay Edwards. This is Matthew Bishop, the host of The Full Story, which happens right before The Clay Edwards Show. But I am joined by Clay's often co-patriot, Sean. And we're just talking, and Sean, and I find it very, I'm really glad Sean was here because we were both prosecutors for a while, and now we're also both defense attorneys. So,
yeah.
Like I said, maybe that's the last thing people want to listen to on their morning commute, is a bunch of attorneys talking. But that's what we're doing. And, you know, it's funny, you know, you talked about, you know, we talked about just the case in and of itself and how there's the idea of someone being undecided is hard to believe.
Yeah.
And to me, that's really the election in a nutshell, because one thing I will give, and you said, you know, you said you were a Democrat leaning fellow. One thing I will give Democrats credit for is they've outplayed the Republicans in several different avenues, including this election, where they're trying to just make it all about Trump. That's what at least it seems like to me. This is a Trump election, which is what they want to do, because they want Biden nowhere mentioned in there because of his horrible record.
A lot of things.
Yeah. Exactly. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I think. If you're Democrats right now, that's what you've got.
Right.
I mean, you just look at it objectively. You're like, what are you going to run on? You have two things you can run on. Trump's bad, right? Mm-hmm. And abortion.
Right.
Those are the two things you got right now. You just, I mean, and that's what you kind of got to go all in, because you can't run on, you know, Biden's not, I think I was telling Clay this before. We have examples in our history about these charismatic presidents that people just still adore for whatever side of the aisle you're on. Like Kennedy is an example. Reagan's an example. Obama's an example, and Trump, I think, is to a certain extent with the large group.
Yeah. But it's a cult of personality. Really.
It's a cult of personality with these certain kind of candidates that come, like generational candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Biden just doesn't have that. He doesn't. So it's not.
Well, he can hardly talk. So.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have that appeal in 2020 either. Like,
right.
I don't think it was just kind of that time. But the I think you know, so he doesn't have that kind of thing where, like, Trump can get people to vote for him, you know, just because of him, like, because
right.
they love him, like, right. they'll go out and vote for him. Obama was the same way. He could do the same thing. Joe Biden doesn't have that ability to do that. So he's got to run on, like, again, you know, Trump's a threat to democracy and abortion. I mean, that's pretty much what you got.
And that's
his position right now.
And that's the interesting thing I mentioned on my show earlier, just looking at polling numbers. Because what we see is that Republican candidates for Senate are actually behind in the polls.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah, but Trump is ahead.
It's a ticket splitting. There was an article in New York Times this morning about that,
mm-hmm.
how that's hurting Biden, where the Democrats are poised to keep the Senate,
right?
Apparently, and maybe even get the House,
mm-hmm.
but lose the presidency, which is interesting
right.
how that. But I mean, there's a lot of voters. If you looked at the demographic trends that are kind of just shocking in terms of what we've seen over the last 50 years,
mm-hmm.
I mean, African American voters are trending towards Trump. Not all the way, of course.
Right.
I mean, Biden was like plus 83 with them in 2020. Right now, he's plus 61.
Wow, which is crazy. It used to be over 90% with the black vote to Democrats.
Absolutely, that's never happened before.
Right.
And Biden's also losing voters under 35, which is a key Democratic
mm-hmm.
constituency. Trump was winning them the other day, I think, by like 6 or 7 points.
Right.
Trump and him are close with Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all problems that Biden's having with those demographics that Democrats usually don't have problems with.
Mm-hmm.
The problem for Trump that he has is the women vote.
Yeah.
That's hurting him. So
mm-hmm.
you kind of have a weird balance there and see what's going to happen.
Yeah. And to me, you know, the way I've always looked at it is, you know, I don't know if this election is going to have a very high turnout or very low turnout. I think it's going to be one or the other because, you know, because to me, the lower the turnout, the better it is for Trump. Because if you look at it, you see Trump's, you know, his base, they're very fired up about
True.
Trump. They're going to come vote. Whereas Biden's I figure they just wouldn't vote rather than vote for Trump. You know, again, I don't think you're going to have people who are undecided about one or the other.
Yeah, I think they're. I think you're right. I think a lot of Biden voters probably would stay home
because mm-hmm.
they just don't. Like I was saying before, he doesn't have that Trump, Obama, Reagan kind of thing about him where
right.
they're just going to come
but
out.
He doesn't have much about him left
right.
anymore. Actually.
Not much. I mean, well, when you have the New York Times attacking you for being frail, which they did a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're kind of in a bad spot as a Democrat.
Right.
When the Times is hitting you, and I think what it is a concerted effort to hopefully get him out of the race, which I don't think is going to happen. But
yeah.
that's what I think the media wants to do. Yeah, I think the Trump voters are going to be out there. They're going to vote for sure. I think people that vote for Biden, you know, I was looking at a poll yesterday
mm-hmm.
that Trump is now getting upset at Robert Kennedy when he used to kind of like him.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of switched because he's looking at numbers that Kennedy draws more from Trump voters than he does from Biden voters.
You really think that's true?
That's what the numbers are saying. I don't know
really?
Whether it's, but that's what it's, that's, and that's mm-hmm. apparently Trump thinks it's true because now he's kind of switched strategies on
to attacking Kennedy.
Kennedy because
mm-hmm.
of that. And well, I think, you know, I think a lot of it too, Matthew, is a lot of people don't really know a lot about Robert Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
so they don't know that he's got a lot of liberal positions. He's a very liberal
yeah,
guy.
He's a Kennedy, and he's been a Democrat his whole life until this election.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that the Trump voters like is his position on vaccines primarily is
mm-hmm.
what his kind of draw to them is,
mm-hmm.
and he's drawing those people that, you know, because Trump obviously is pro-vaccine or
right.
wasn't. So I think that's where he's gaining so much from them and not as much from the Biden voters as you would have thought.
Yeah. And, you know, one of you mentioned the New York Times article and what, A, that's crazy, right? We're talking mm-hmm. the New York Times, liberal yeah. paper that's actually putting out these numbers for Trump.
Yeah.
But Trump is actually gaining with Muslims.
Yep.
He's actually winning with Muslims. And, you know, you see the thing with what's happening over in Israel. It's like the Democrats, you know, with their policy, it's like they're angering both sides of that. They're angering both the Jews and the Muslims in this conflict, which is quite remarkable.
This is one of the times where you wish you could cuss on air because it's one of the biggest political blunders, I think, that
yeah.
the president's made
mm-hmm.
On this Israel-Gaza thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was watching something on it last night, and what he's done is he's taken a position that's made everybody mad.
Yeah.
Now, because, you know, he was known for decades as the Jewish senator. That's how closely aligned
really?
Israel that Biden was.
Mm-hmm.
And he, when he started this thing on October 7th, as being that guy.
Yeah.
And then now he sees these campus protests and all these, you know, mm-hmm. which I really think is a minority of people that are lunatics,
yeah.
but that are okay with terrorists, which I still can't get past that, but
mm-hmm.
whatever. And, I think he's seen that, so now he's like, okay, well, I'm going to shift to this, you know, middle position, which
right.
has now made everybody angry.
Like right.
even the Gaza people are still angry at him, and now, you know, moderate Democrats and Republicans are always mad at him. Moderate Democrats are like, wait a second, like John Fetterman. I don't know if you follow
yeah.
that. Fetterman's mm-hmm. been attacking Biden over this, like
yeah.
saying, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, well, especially you said with the Jewish base, always been again 80%+ for the Democrats
sure.
for decades. But you know, one thing again, you know, the Democrats with this last thing, you know, I talked a little bit on my show about Blinken going over to Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
And now that you know they stopped the funding. Because we had just passed $24 billion to Israel. And I've said before on my show that we shouldn't be giving billions of dollars to any country to fight wars. But the fact that, hey, we gave $24 billion to them and then they pulled a bamboozle on us and said, hey, we're not going to give any now because of Rafa, but we're going to go back to over to Ukraine and give $85 billion to them.
Because the House that's what got Mike Johnson in trouble, right?
Was exactly.
passing that funding bill for Israel
yeah.
and Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And now Biden's not going to give it to Israel based on their, which actually, I mean, I agree with Israel's invasion of Rafah.
Yeah.
I think that they've got pretty good justification for it.
Well, I think they have justification for all of it. And that's what I said, hey,
sure.
my thing is, hey, let Israel run their war, right? We shouldn't have to dictate it. And also, we also shouldn't have to use our money for it. Same thing with Ukraine.
Yeah, you know, Clay and I have talked about this many times. There's an easy way for this war to end, and it's Hamas can surrender.
Right.
I mean, they can do that. They can say, we surrender, and then it ends.
Right.
But everybody keeps kind of misconstruing that we should now appease terrorists, or Israel should, not
yeah.
us. But you know, I just find that position kind of be absurd.
Well, again, you can't make peace with these people, and all they want is for you to be eradicated.
You can't.
You just have to. You have to get rid of them.
Yeah, and I give the example all the time about us after 9/11. What did we do? What
yeah.
did we do? We went after the terrorists, like everybody, like we should have, for one thing. I mean, we obviously executed that war wrongly.
Yeah, well, it went on way too longer than it should have.
Sure. I mean, and then we, you know, attacked the country that didn't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is Iraq, obviously. And now we all see that and
right.
looking at that lens. But we still, at that time, were going to get the terrorists. And I think nobody in this country would have accepted anything less than that.
Yeah.
And how can you accept, how can we expect the Israelis to feel indifferently?
Yeah. Well, it was good being on here. Clay Edwards is back in the house, guys. So he's going to come back on the air when we come back from the break. But, Sean, it was good talking with you.
You too, man.
Always good to talk to a fellow prosecutor. But keep it tuned here to the Clay Edwards Show on WYAB 103.9.
Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. It's that familiar voice you look so forward to in the mornings. It's finally here. Now, hey, I want to thank Matthew and Sean for filling in last second there for me. I had a little hiccup this morning at the house. Oh, I can be honest with y'all. I overslept. I worked out late last night and decided I was going to go to bed. And, man, straight through it, son. Straight through it. I woke up and it was daylight in my room. I said, ruh-roh. If it's daylight, it's too late. I jumped up, threw on my clothes, and hit the door before I knew what I was doing. It was from downtown Brandon to the interstate before I think I could actually see straight. You know, just getting the sleep out of my eyes.
You sure that was a late night workout?
Yeah, I probably. And look, I think it's the melatonin.
Okay.
I've added melatonin to the mix to sleep good.
That's what we're calling whiskey these days, is melatonin, yeah. right?
Mellow whiskey. But look, hey, I appreciate that. That's why you keep the bench thick around here. at WYAB. You got guys like Matthew on here every morning now, 6 to 7 a.m., Matthew Bishop Show. You got Sean Yerkeron coming in to fill in and help out and be a co-host. And just two great minds right there, two great legal minds talking about the Donald Trump case from two different political perspectives, and both of them think Trump is innocent, which makes me even more mad.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I was saying, I think his best defense is, yeah, I did it, but it's not illegal. You know, yeah. I mean, it's really what it is. I don't think anybody's disputing that, you know, he had sex with Stormy Daniels and that Cohen gave her money and signed an NDA, which is completely legal, right, by the way, and that he paid him back. I mean, what's illegal about that? And that's the whole issue here.
Said he wrote it in the ledger wrong. I mean, that's so stupid.
You know, I think, Clay, I told you about this before. If I was Trump back in 16, I mean, hindsight's 2020, as we all know, but I would have been like, just owned it at that point if she came out with a story. I mean, was it like anybody didn't think that, you know, he was into stuff like this? I mean, everybody kind of knew that. I don't think it would have hurt him.
Well, I was listening to y'all just a second ago and on the way in and stuff, and what I kind of was thinking about, two different thoughts. On the way in, y'all were talking about, you know, the cover-up and, you know, all that, and I think Trump is surprised that it didn't matter.
Yeah.
I think, frankly, America is probably surprised that all the stuff that came out, all the October surprises that came out, that didn't matter.
Yeah.
That Hillary was such a bad candidate that it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And that people, after 8 years of Obama, people were ready for hope and change. And it just didn't matter. And then was listening to y'all just then talking about polling, and I had not considered about the apathetic Biden voter.
Yeah.
Because is there that anti-Trump sentiment like it was in 2020 now? I mean, there is in certain circles, don't get me wrong, but they're never voting conservative. That's progressive circles. Mm-hmm. And some of these never Trump, fake Lincoln Project type people. I don't think that there's that anti-Trump feeling out there. Like, I think you can wear your MAGA hat anywhere now.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, I think again, that goes to, as time fades, people have a better, like, now people are looking at 2019 as a much better time than now. So I think, you know, history's looking at them through a different lens, maybe. Yeah. A lot of people are just looking at it that way.
And they see what's happening to them.
Yeah. And they see what's happening to, which is done, you know, I've said this before they ever prosecuted him. I said, this is going to do nothing but make him more popular. And, yeah. You know, people, I remember talking to people about that at the time, other lawyers. And I said, the problem is, when you involve the legal system in politics, it never works out the way you think. It just doesn't. And that's a big problem with, even on local levels, like prosecuting public officials. It's just not an easy thing. We just saw that Sullivan guy in Rankin County, you know, yeah. Prosecuted. And those kinds of prosecutions, when you're involved a properly elected person, it's really difficult. Really difficult. And it polarizes people on one side or the other. And it's just, that's why I always say, I feel like the legal system, you know, unless you're doing something like Bob Menendez, who's on trial this week, where, you know, he's taking gold bars for bribes and things like that. You know, I get that. Okay. I mean, I get why they're doing it that. But when you're talking about certain wholly political issues, it never works out well.
Let's take a call. Mazda Jackson phone line here. Hey, you're on there.
Hey, Clay, how's it going, man?
Hey, good, brother. How are you?
Man, I'm all right, man. It's been a long time since I called in, but I got a suggestion for you, man, to add a segment to your show, man, to call it Help a Brother Out. And what I want to ask is this. I'm a Trump supporter. I'm a black guy. There's a lot of black folks for Trump, and I'm all for that. But I got some brothers, man. I mean, like blood brothers and some other guys that everything that I say that, you know, why I'm pro-Trump, they shoot it down with nonsense. And if you give them facts, they ignore it. They don't like it. And when they give you stuff, you ask them, hey, well, show me that. Send me the article. Send me something. They can't do it. So I'm asking you, man, to help a brother out. What are some talking points that I can say that, hey, Trump over Biden, Trump over Robert, everybody, man. So I'm going to hang up and listen for your answer, but help a brother out, man. I need to know, what can I say to these people to let them know why I'm voting for Trump?
Well, I'm a loaded gun with this one here, so stay tuned. We got to take one more call, and I'm going to get right back to that. Thanks, Ryan.
Cool.
Peace. All right. Let's take one more call on the Mazda Jackson phone line. Hey, you're on there.
Hey, if there's election interference, shouldn't Stacey Abrams been prosecuted for election denying? I mean, what law is there an actual statute about election interference or disinformation? Because if that's the case, then the FBI should have been prosecuted for the Hunter Biden laptop story, paying Facebook and all the other social media to keep it off.
I agree. I don't know. I don't know if there's a law per se. I mean, when it's Republicans, they're going to create one.
Yeah. I mean, show me the man, I'll show you the crime.
Yep.
I mean, is that what we're coming to in this country?
It appears to be.
But you know what? There's going to be hell to pay when Trump's reelected.
Yeah, that's my question of the day.
But, Sean, what keeps people from, say you were a DA in, just say, Rankin County or Madison or, you know, Harrison, and you say, you know what, Biden's interfered in the 2020 election with his son, keeps him from getting indicted. What keeps a prosecutor from doing that?
Well, I mean, I think, Ross, first of all, the conduct would have to occur in your county, whatever county. Like, let's say, like, he did that in Rankin County or something. Like,
didn't do nothing in Georgia. Trump didn't.
Yeah, I think, if I remember correctly, I think some of the second, it was some of that involves a call to the Secretary of State's office, which is located in Fulton County. I think that's right. I think that's where they got the jurisdiction for that.
He said, find me the votes.
Right. I understand. I'm not arguing the legitimacy of it. I'm just saying, for the jurisdictional purposes, I think that's how they did it. Right. I think that's how, I believe that's right. Because that conduct occurred, that specific conduct occurred in Fulton County.
And guys, with all due respect, this has been happening for years. They tried to indict Oliver Diaz several times on bogus crap.
That's 100% true, and that's why, you know, on here I talk to Clay a lot about this, where I'm so against them doing this to Trump, because I've seen it. I've seen the Republicans do it to the Democrats 20 years ago. The same thing happened there. Huh. Then you cited Oliver Diaz. That's exactly what happened in that case.
Yep. So. All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thanks. My question of the day, what was it? Should Trump go scorched earth and prosecute everybody for all the crimes they've committed the last 8 years, 9 years, just the last four, all of the Biden crimes? Should we go scorched earth and get our pound of flesh, or do we just let bygones be bygones and try to get back to politics as usual? I've had a lot of thought into this. I mean, because there is that part of me that wants that revenge, that wants that pound of flesh. Biden's going to be dead in a couple years. I mean, I would love to see him spend his last few years in a courtroom wearing an orange jumpsuit, but Biden's going to be dead. Who do we go after? I mean, do we want to get back to something that resembles normal, you know, whatever that is? Or do we need a complete cleansing of the system? And then, you know, I mean, you got to keep control. Or when the next batch comes back in, it's going to be the same thing over and over. Let's take a call real quick, and then I want to discuss this with Sean. On the Mazda Jackson phone line, you're on there.
Hey, it's Elrod. Yeah, scorched earth, bud. Scorch it. Burn it down. Glass planet, man. Just make it all, the whole thing. Because, see, nothing else matters. Our economy, everything is tied into the persecution of all these traitors, all these criminals that have done our country this dirty. It's the only thing that matters. The only thing that he should be doing when he gets in office is scorched earth on all of these commies.
I think that's where I'm at, too. I mean, I do. I mean, because I don't think you have, knowing our enemy like I do, they're not going to stop whether you do or not.
Oh, no.
And they've proven that here.
And they'll use any evil, despicable way that they can, underhanded, the worst possible ways they can go about doing something. They're going to do to get their achieve their goals. It doesn't matter who gets hurt, especially the American people. They want to hurt the American people. Democrats want Americans to hurt because that's how they get elected. We care about you and you're so hurt, we can help. No, you're the one that calls it all.
Yeah, like dead black people in the streets of Jackson.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, you know, that dead black bodies equal dollars for Democrats.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why they perpetuate it. Emmanuel say? Crisis is a terrible thing to waste.
Yep, that's it.
Man, they going all out now. Scorched earth, Trump, do it. That's why I'm voting for him. If he doesn't do scorched earth, I'm I'm gonna write him an angry letter.
I'm still mad he didn't lock Hillary up. Peace, Elrod. Thanks, brother.
All right, bud.
All right, let's take one more call real quick. A Mazda Jackson phone line. You're on there.
Hello. Hey. Do either one of you guys remember this? When Obama got elected, the first thing he did, I think he fired all the U.S. attorneys. I know he fired a slew of people that's under his jurisdiction in the executive department. And I don't know about the scorched earth policy, but I can tell you that one of the things Trump could do and should do is all those people that work in the executive branch, he ought to fire an awful lot of people. That would help. That would go a long way. And just one more comment, I'll let you go. The caller that was asking about the reasons to vote for Trump, if he'll go online and take a look at the executive decisions that were made by executive orders that were made by Trump, and then compare that to the ones that Biden put together, that right there, that one thing alone would give him an awful lot of reason to support Trump. I appreciate your help.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you, man. I got three words. Drill, baby, drill. Three more words. Close the border. Yeah, reasons to vote for Trump.
Yeah, I think, obviously with the border, we don't have to go into the complete mess it is and what Biden's done, mess it up. I agree with you on that issue. But with the oil thing, though, I did read this the other day. We're going to produce more oil than any country in the history of the world has ever produced this year.
And we've been exporting a lot of it.
I don't know that. Maybe I have a list. I was reading.
Selling our reserves to China. We ain't producing enough. I mean, they've locked down these land leases and stuff and all that, and it's been a disaster.
Yeah, I did read that we were actually going to produce more than any other country in the history of the world's ever produced this year. What we've done with it, I don't know. I'm just saying that was what the production levels.
Yeah, I don't.
In terms
know about,
of that,
yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know what little caveat, what kind of spin they've put on that to come up with that number. But clearly, we've produced more in the past. Yeah,
maybe we have. I don't know. I'm just saying,
We hadn't shut down all these rigs, and we're producing more.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what. I'll look it up right now. I'm just telling you what I read recently. I don't know what it says that it was. We've said we were going to produce more than any other country's ever produced. Now, the context of that, I'm not 100% sure. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, that's some spin job. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show here on WYAB. We don't have but about a minute before our top of the hour break here. Reasons a brother should vote for Donald Trump. Well, record black unemployment, for one. And let's not forget, Donald Trump offered you guys the platinum plan. And you voted for the cubic zirconia plan from Joe Biden. You had platinum. You decided to go with fake plated gold instead, because he told you if you didn't vote for Biden, you weren't black. And gosh dang it, if you didn't believe him. Sad, sad, sad.
So I pulled a list too. There's funding for historically black colleges and universities, mm-hmm. opportunity zones, which is a really good.
The opportunity zones thing's great.
Yeah. You know, my buddy Will is obsessed with that. I've just kind of learned a lot about it. It actually is a pretty cool thing, especially for low income areas. And criminal justice reform.
The criminal justice reform, another big one. There's so many reasons. I mean, can somebody tell me why you should vote for Biden? I think that's really the better question. I think Trump's has got some obvious stuff. After 4 years of Biden, what can you tell me is driving you to the polls again to not vote for Trump? I'm serious. Like you've had 4 and 4. Let me know. We'll be right back. A boom, a shakalaka boom. It's hour two of the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yurtkaran. We're back here on 103.9 FM WYAB. Hey, guys, you looking for somewhere to eat lunch today? Man, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of sponsors to push. We're going to have to squeeze it in today. I'll make it quick, I promise. How about Johnny's Pizza House right there in Gluckstadt? We want to welcome them to the show. They got a bunch of great lunch specials. Guys, girls, even if you're on the keto diet, they got something for you. It's called what do they call it? It's a pizza bowl. So it's basically a pizza in a in a dish in a deep in a pan without the crust. I've had that before. I love cheese. I love sauce. I don't have to have the bread. But hey, if you do any 8-inch single topping pizza with a large drink, I'm sorry, with a medium drink, only $6.99. That's right. Try going to McDonald's for $6.99. $20 Big Mac meals.
Cannot do that.
First off, pizza, Big Mac. I'm taking pizza every time. Every time. Hey, what about an 8-inch specialty pizza? Only $9.49. And then they got their Sweep the Kitchen. It's got everything on it. Only $9.49. They've also got a Johnny's Flip. It looks kind of like a pita, like a stuffed pita or a calzone roll type thing. Then they have the Muffaletta. It's only $5.99. They actually have some meals down here for $5.99. Check them out. And, of course, they've got their regular menu available as well with all the different pizzas and pies and all that good stuff on it. Just real quick, man, let me tell you what all is on that kitchen sweep or Sweep the Kitchen. It's everything on it. 11 toppings, pepperoni, ham, hamburger, sausage, onions, mushrooms, black olives, bell peppers, jalapenos, anchovies, and, of course, mozzarella cheese. And, again, for my keto crowd out there, you can make any pizza a crustless pizza and enjoy a pizza bowl with no carbs. Love it. Check them out. They're right there in Gluckstadt, right in front of the Mack Hike dealerships. I'm not sure the name of that road right there, but if you're from Gluckstadt, you know where I'm talking about. Right there, you know where I'm talking about, right in front of Mack Hike. So, Sean. We got another new sponsor here in a minute we're going to tell you guys about. Really, really excited to have these guys on board. If you're from the Flora area and you're looking for somewhere to hang out, man, have we got the place for you. Stay tuned to the end of this segment to hear about them. All right, so the Trump stuff, when you start talking about it, it takes over the show.
Sometimes, yeah, sure.
You know, so there's definitely that. Everybody keeps texting in their ideas of why you should vote for Trump. Kenneth texts in on the Guns and Gear text line. By the way, I haven't given out the Guns and Gear text line this morning. 769-241-1944. Mazda Jackson phone line, 601-879-0002. Kenneth says this: how is your life under Biden? High crime, high inflation, high taxes, boys and girls bathroom, two wars, 13 dead servicemen, and a bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan. All the lies they use to blame everyone else for all their failures. Obama said it best: never underestimate Biden's ability to F things up. And let me just tell you, you know, this would be a much bigger story.
He did say that.
Yeah. This would be a much bigger story if it was Trump that it was about, not Biden. But actually, Biden did confirm that her diary was real and that the content in it was real. That Joe Biden was taking wildly inappropriate showers with her at an age that he should not have been taking showers with her, which I'll be honest, as a father of a daughter, I don't think there's any age, period, point blank, in the discussion that you should be in the bathtub or showered naked with your child.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a dad, so I don't know how that works. There's no reason why
I never once. And people are like, well, you know, you both yourselves a bath at the same time, just in there. No, you put the baby in the little baby chair in the bathtub, and you give them a bath. Mm-hmm. You don't get in there naked with them.
Okay.
Now, that's my opinion, and especially when they're tall enough to give themselves a bath.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Sean, I mean, what do you think about us having a pedophile president? Incestual.
Same thing. I don't think it's good. Same thing I thought when we had a pedophile speaker of the House of Representatives. I mean, same reasons. I didn't like that either.
I mean, do you feel like you're going to vote for the pedophile?
I've told you who I'm voting for already. We can announce that later, but it's like you know privately what I've said. So
I'm just messing with Sean.
Yeah,
I'm just messing with Sean. And that's just what you got to take when you go to the polls. I mean, look, I know. If I know one thing, I know the black community in Jackson. I grew up. I say this all the time. People get mad at me about this. It just is what it is. I know black folks in Jackson. I grew up with y'all. I was there till 3 years ago. I was always the minority in my friend circle. All my business dealings were always with the black folks in Jackson. I know how conservative you all really are, like in your homes and with your families. Now, I'm not talking about these little Taliban members running around destroying the streets of Jackson. I'm talking about folks that care enough to get out and vote, folks that run with folks like Ryan, good folks. You know what I mean? y'all have had the wool pulled over your eyes by these Democrats. I know y'all ain't for all this LGBTQ stuff. I know y'all ain't for all this abortion stuff.
You know what's interesting about that? Remember 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the SAFER Act,
mm-hmm.
Governor DeSantis? You know, the black delegation was arguing against it, which, remember, I think you and I discussed this, like, privately off air, like, how that was kind of weird, considering that, you know, the black community is generally conservative, especially on those issues. I've had far more of my black friends than white ones be anti-trans issues that, you know what I mean, more than white people, I think. They're very conservative, and so, like, they're, it seems like that delegation would have been in favor of that, considering that's their constituencies are is in favor of that. So I found that interesting. It's a good example, I think, of the political class doing whatever they want to do and not caring about what their voters think. I think you see a lot of that, and I see that on both sides a lot, plenty of times. But I think a good example, Jackson's a really good example of that, where you take the issue with the SAFER Act issue, which I think most black residents probably would have been in favor of.
By the way, that if y'all don't know, the SAFER Act is so men can't use women's restrooms or locker rooms in schools and public buildings.
Mm-hmm. And I think most black residents of Jackson probably would vote for that, you know, I think for the majority. And same thing with HB 1020 a year ago, where they several news stations interviewed residents of the city who were, it was like 90% of them were like, yeah, we want more cops and we want courts and whatever we got to do to stop this crime epidemic. But the elected representatives acted like, well, we don't want this, but then privately told everybody at the legislature that they did really want it. They want to include their, you know, wards. Okay,
I'll call them out personally. Crudup.
Yeah, Crudup, yeah.
Crudup, you know, publicly didn't want it, but privately wanted to make sure his home and church were in it.
Yeah, because they wanted to, like, give this representation that, like, we just don't want the state coming in and helping us, but then we really do, but we just don't want to tell anybody that.
I was just mind-boggled by why law-abiding black folks would suggest that they wanted softer, that somehow a criminal justice system that in theory would never affect them as long as they don't break the law,
mm-hmm.
was somehow going to be racially tilted in somebody else's, out of their favor. Like, I don't, going to be honest with you, I don't really care what happens to a criminal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be a criminal. So I'm not worried about what happens to a criminal. Now, there's reasons why. Now, I can sound like a hypocrite at times because that's exactly why I did move out of Jackson. But I think I got a nice enough case study of Jody Owens going on the national political Democrat agenda, the anti-cop Democrat agenda, and the anti-self-defense Democrat agenda, and frankly, a history of Hinds County doing it. That says, man, there's too much crime around here. If I have to kill one of these little Talibanians, I don't want to be a defendant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, what's it called? There's it's interesting that, like, in the political class has an agenda that their constituents don't want, and then everybody's supposed to be okay with that. You know, I know this is kind of, it's not off topic, but it's sort of we've talked about this off air a million times recently about what's happened to South Jackson, how now the gangs are running South Jackson. And I can't imagine that anybody that lives in the city thinks that's okay. That's a taxpaying person that goes to work every day, thinks that that's an acceptable outcome, which to me is kind of an outcome of the political class's decisions of, like, I don't want to be for HB 1020. I don't want this. I don't want that, because I see, like, the state's helping. Well, now we've got a situation where gangs are literally in charge of a portion of an American capital city. And the only time I can think of maybe a historical analogy of that would be, have you ever seen the movie Gangs of New York? You know, that would...
The Gangs of South Jackson.
The Gangs of South Jackson. You know, got Bill the Butcher, the knife. They're going to have, like, Braveheart fights in the middle of McDowell Road. You know, I'm kidding, but I'm not really kidding, because we're not far off of that.
No.
But because of these, like, political class decisions that you think sound great, this has happened now. This is a reality. And even Chief Wade said it last week. I think I sent you the article. Yeah. You read it at the same time I was reading it, about how, you know, they're glad that Capitol Police's jurisdiction is expanded, because now it allows JPD to focus its resources on South Jackson, which is just a catastrophe.
And is it, those were his exact words. Yeah. I ain't going to lie. It's South Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just glad Chris Davis, our news guy, played a clip this morning. I heard it coming in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. And it was the voice of one of these black politician, one of the older black politicians in the state, that said people used to vote on race and this, that, and the other, and now we're having to say, he was taking the trans side,
yeah,
in this. And I was just thinking to myself, man, I am so glad we've come so far in race relations that all our black delegation in Mississippi can has moved on to fighting for trans rights. That we, you know, it is an admission. It's a self-own. Next time they get to re-in and, you know, looking all mean-faced about racism in Mississippi, like, man, we've overcome that. You guys have moved on to fighting for the transist folks.
Which, again, is shocking because their constituency doesn't agree with it. And I don't, you know, I mean, generally you get elected because you're a representative of your voting base. That you know, not that you always vote everything they want you to do, but this is a pretty big issue.
Man, I've told this story. This is going to be my hill to die on. Black folks are the most homophobic people in America. I know this. I grew up with you. I've been around you. When I had 105, right on Capitol Street, right across the street, there was a gay club. It was open late. When we would close 105, we would wander over there and kind of have a nightcap, so to say. You know, drink some more, wind down, whatever. Me, security guys, whoever else wanted to go over there, we would have a good time. Man, I used to try to drag my black buddies over there with us. Like, come on, man, we're just going to go over here. You know, it's a gay club, it's cool. You ain't got to worry about nothing. You ain't going to get molested in here.
Yeah.
And, man, I just tricked one of them one time and got him to come on in. He's like, no, man, I got to get the hell out of here. I got to get out of here. And can't nobody ever see me here. You know, but because it's frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just my point. I mean, the stuff don't bother me, but I get it. If it does bother you, I understand. I mean, especially nowadays. I don't know that I would nowadays. Things have changed so much. People aren't gay no more. They're trans now.
Yeah, gay's not cool anymore, Clay. No, come on. It's just
gay's not enough of a statement. You can't just be gay anymore. You gotta be a furry. You gotta be pansexual, transsexual.
Sapiosexual, isn't that one of them?
Yeah, I'm running out of sexuals here.
There's a bunch of it. It's not popular like it once was.
But yeah, so the point is, we've clearly run out of racism to fight about. That now whites and blacks, our conservatives and Democrats, have taken up this trans battle. Which, to me, the whole thing is absolutely foolish. We shouldn't be having to have this conversation, but Democrats keep pushing this. Joe Biden bastardized Title IX. So we're having to do this. And people are like, well, it's not a big deal. I saw people in Tate Reeves' comments yesterday. This is stupid. This ain't protecting women. Closing the women's health clinic is doing more damage to women. Blah, 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 blah. Why are you wasting your time with this? Why is the federal government wasting their time with this? Why are y'all trying to shove this trans agenda down everybody's throats that don't want to be a part of it?
And this may get me canceled, but whatever. Why do we devote, and we should devote, I'm not saying this right, let me clarify. We should devote time to mental conditions, right? We try mental health. We always talk about how we need to invest more in that and the issues that's caused. I think the example is yesterday or this weekend with the triple homicide in Ridgeland was a result of a mental condition is what I've been told. So that being said, though, it feels like the federal government is singling out a specific mental condition and making it more like acceptable societally. You know, I'm not saying that. You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
I know. They're trying to normalize insanity.
Yeah, like it'd be
I'll
like,
say the bad part.
Let's say if someone were schizophrenic or something, and we haven't normalized, we try to get them help. We don't normalize that. But we've done that with gender dysphoria, which again, we've discussed this several programs ago about how that's actually in the DSM-5 manual on mental health conditions, and it would change. The name was changed to gender dysphoria in 2013 from gender disorder to make it more sound better, basically. Yeah. That's what it was.
Make it sound like a condition.
Yeah. And but before, it was just like bipolar disorder or any other kind of disorder that you have. So we haven't taken those other mental conditions and made them acceptable to society, but we've picked this one, which I find that interesting. Like, why have we done that? What are the root causes of that? Right, root causes. I know you love that. What are the causes of that? Why we've normalized one mental health condition and not others, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they picked the most extreme, the mm-hmm. wildest one to say, we're going to normalize this. We're going to make this we're going to build statues of you people now. The first trans. I mean, we're treating trans like black. It's the first. I guess we ran out of first blacks to do that since we've overcome all of our racism. Mm-hmm. Now we got to circle back. So what could be the first black trans, the first Indian trans? I haven't heard about the first white trans anything. Let's take a break on that.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, I want to welcome Parlor 1886 to the show. They're located right there on Main Street in Flora. Parlor 1886 is Flora's living room, so to say. Really nice little pub, restaurant, bar. Says, look, man, they're not just a restaurant and bar. They're a hangout spot. Whether you're looking to grab a drink, watch the game, or just chill with friends, Parlor 1886 is the perfect place. Parlor 1886 is now open on Monday. Swing by and make yourself at home at Parlor 1886 on Main Street in Flora. I went by the other day to meet the owner, John. Jason. I met the owner, Jason, and I have not met the manager, John, yet. But great folks. It's really neat in there, man. You actually got some couches that face each other with a table in the middle. It really reminds me of if you used to go to Bulldog back in the day, how they had those living room, those couch areas that you could sit in. Mm-hmm. It's got that going on. Then it's got the high top bar tops and bar tables and everything else too, and a bar, of course. And they're putting an old school barcade back in the back of it, mm-hmm. like with pinball machines and old school games and stuff. So it's going to be really, really neat. It's a bigger place than you may think, but it's right there on Main Street in Flora next to Railroad Pizza, or right by it anyway. So get by there, check them out. They are your happy hour and evening time location right here in Flora, Mississippi. That is Parlor 1886. All right, man, looking forward to a night out here in Flora soon.
Yeah.
Sean, let's talk about something here. A guy that we were going to talk about, Smithwell Stadium getting repoed by the state of Mississippi. So I just want to say that real quick. The Smithwell Stadium got repoed from the city of Jackson by the state of Mississippi. And we're going to get into that before we get out of here, but we're knee-deep in this trans stuff, and we're going to talk about this for a minute. And we got some texts from people about why black people should vote for Trump and all kind of stuff. Sean and I were talking during the break, and Sean brought up a great point going into the break about why we have singled out this mental problem to normalize. And I said, you know, Sean, they wouldn't even let you in the military if you were bipolar, much less... You can't be bipolar and get in the military, but you can be confused about your gender. Heck, you can join the military and they will pay to cut your thing off for you. Yep. They will pay for your transition surgery.
That's what it says here.
Sean, what are some things that are and aren't allowed to get in the military? Well, let's just say trans is allowed. What's not?
Well, it's got any kind of bipolar disorder, any personality disorder, dissociative disorder, schizophrenia. Post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety disorders, essentially a disorder that probably everybody has, right? It's a lot of that.
Stuff that could cause you to make a bad decision on the battlefield or in training.
Yeah, exactly. So just any kind of mental health condition is excluded from what I'm pulling up here is from from military service. So,
but you can be confused about your gender, and that's okay.
Yeah. You can apparently that has had an evolution over the years where there was a total ban on that till about 2016, and then they kind of shifted it around how you could be. They could in 2016 to 2018 you were allowed to serve in your identified assigned gender upon completing a transition. You actually had to transition like at that point, which I could see the reasonableness of this. If you're committed, that's a different thing. From I guess around 2019 till 2021, they could not enlist the military had they been affirmed, and if they had a history of gender dysphoria, they could only enlist under their gender assigned at birth. And after 36 months of stability, currently serving individuals could only serve under their gender assigned at birth. That's kind of confusing. But then on January 21, once Biden took office, they really changed that. And then it was no restrictions on transgender individuals, and medical care was provided for service members who were going under the, transition procedure, actually going through it.
So, I mean, shouldn't you have to have some skin in the game if we're going to pay for the surgery? Like, not just join and immediately, I need a transition.
Can we like the Bronze Star and then we'll pay?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like Silver Star.
Can you get the first 4 years in? Like, if you re-enlist, then we'll do it.
It's like a Teach for America program where they pay back your student loans.
Yeah.
You serve 4 years, you can have the surgery.
Yeah, I mean,
that's actually fair.
You know? I mean, like, really, I mean, you got to do the 4 years to get the but the college stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to, yeah, since it's, yeah, exactly. I mean, you could, we have to commit to serving that long, right?
Yeah.
Or for, yeah. You have to be deployed one time and then they'll do it, you know.
China's so going to kick our ass.
I mean, it's a little, you know, when you're reading through this about what they exclude from military service, and then they don't exclude that, where here's like anxiety disorders, like a panic disorder, a post-traumatic stress disorder. They have history of adjustment disorders. I mean, you know, just things like that, which are – a lot of things are, those things are common, by the way. Very, you know.
William and Brandon on the Guns and Gear text line says, sleepwalking, talking in your sleep, and flat feet will keep you out of the military.
Sure. There you go.
I forgot about flat feet.
Yeah.
I think that's why my dad didn't get drafted. If I remember right.
Look, anorexia or bulimia will kick you out of military service. And so will ADHD. If you received treatment in the last 2 years.
So if you've taken Adderall in the last 2 years, that's every kid under 18 right now.
Yeah, that's why the service enlistment numbers are down, because every kid's on Adderall. So that's it. And
don't they know they make the best kamikaze pilots?
Yeah, right. PCP and Adderall, you know. So you get excluded from basically anything now that has to do with some sort of mental health disorder, except for this, which is really interesting.
The most mental disorder.
Yeah, you know, and I had to debate with somebody long ago. If they could convince me that there was a medical, like a physiological medical reason for this, and apparently there isn't, unless you're like, what's the old word, hermaphrodite, you know, then there would be a reason for that, obviously, yeah, medically. But generally, this is just a mental condition, like you feel this way. So that's not a physiological issue where like you have to have some surgery because of a medical condition that's necessary or whatever. Or that you're stuck between two sexes, which in those scenarios, I, you know, understand it, obviously. In that scenario, like maybe if you've got two sex organs, then you need to fix that, obviously. But this is primarily directed towards the people that just think they're a woman, right? So that's a mental health condition. It's a mental health issue, just like all these other ones I just listed are. So that's why I'm confused. Like, what's the difference?
You know, Sean, people call me a transphobe, and I refuse to accept that because I don't acknowledge trans are real.
Well, I mean, you know, I tend to agree with that viewpoint because, I mean, if it's classified as a mental health condition, just like the other ones I'm listing, then someone has to tell me what the difference is. Like, why are we not normalizing, you know, have schizophrenic day? Like, we don't have that. I mean,
what, schizophrenic day of visibility?
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't. Or, and I'm not saying those, by the way, God bless anybody with those mental health conditions, and I hope they get help for sure. It's not, but it's the same thing.
Let's take a call.
Good morning.
Hey. You on there?
This is James Hanna. On the trans thing, so I think with the Palestine, with the queers, the Palestine, whatever they call themselves, I think we should support them and pay for them to go over to Palestine and Gaza region and see how long they last and how well it works out for them.
I told a couple of them that on Facebook the other day. I thought they should go over there and fight for Palestine. They're in Palestine. Just let them know. Go be little cheerleaders and see how long it lasts. Avoid rooftops while you're there.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense because they're the very ones that would be killed. They would be the first ones that would be killed.
Yeah. Yep, there's a certain reporter here in Mississippi who's head of the Rainbow Supremacy, who's a big pro-Palestine guy, and he'd be the first one off a rooftop if he went over there.
Yeah. Well, that's all I wanted to say. Appreciate y'all's show. Love y'all's show. Listen to it daily, whether it be on the podcast or the radio. So,
hey, thank you, brother. Thanks. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Peace out. I mean, look, is this not something we can't all come together on?
You would think so. I mean, you would think it would be that easy. Like, this should just be that we all... Because unless somebody can, like I was saying before, explain the medical, physiological reason for it, which it would be those rare instances of, you know, you being two sexes or whatever. But otherwise, we're talking about a mental health condition just like all the other ones that we don't fund that. We should. We always talk about it. We need to put more money into mental health.
Tate signed a bill yesterday that I do want to hit about separating mental health from jail.
I saw Tyree post something about that.
I mean, I think it's a good it's a start in a state that needs a lot of help with this mental health mental health stuff. It's, and look, I'm not denying mental health isn't an issue. Mental health is 100% an issue.
Yeah,
but we better start treating trans like it's a mental health issue, not like it's a sexual preference.
And then think about this. So, say we're normalizing transgender issue, which is we've agreed is a mental health condition, and so it's a DSM-5 manual, by the way, not just us.
Tell people what that is.
It's a manual that has lists every mental health condition, I believe, exactly. I don't know the correct definition, but that's where you can look up any kind of disorder. I'm putting up Google, maybe the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition.
Gotcha.
And it's listed in there as a, you know, gender dysphoria before it was disorder. But here's my point. So let's say that now we've normalized a mental health condition being the transgender issue. Well, are the schizophrenics getting discriminated against? Like, do they need to have like a movement, you know?
Well, there's a lawsuit to be had. I mean, because why are we? I mean,
why do they get it? What does their mental health condition matter more?
Yeah, Roger texted in on the Guns and Gear text line here real quick. Let me pull it up. Talking about somebody with ADHD. Yeah, here it is. It says, I have a buddy that was released from the Air Force for his ADHD. He was in the middle of air traffic control school, passed everything with flying colors, and they still released him due to ADHD. And okay, if you're saying that that's an issue, I understand. I'm not going to argue that. But you're going to tell me that is and this ain't.
Exactly.
This is virtue signaling over here for some odd reason. And what's next? You know, like Rush was right. It's a slippery slope. And we have slipped our butts all the way down here to this trans nonsense. And Sean, you know like I know, with progressivism, there's always what's next, and I would have never thought this would be next.
No, I never thought it would have been normalized.
Well, I think they're about to normalize pedophilia. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. This segment brought to you by Men's Health of Mississippi. Guys, are you suffering from fatigue, decreased muscle tone, lack of energy, low libido? Ask your girlfriend or wife if you have low libido. She'll let you know. Brain fog or sleep disturbances? Clearly, your boy ain't suffering from sleep disturbances. The testosterone is working, as I slept straight through the alarm clock this morning. So sleep, not a problem. And obviously, none of those other things are a problem.
Yeah, duh. Obviously.
Obviously. No. Well, look, if they are, get like me and text the words FREE. FREE, all caps, to 601-327-8550. 601-327-8550. That's Men's Health of Mississippi. They're going to get you a free testosterone screening today. Tell them I sent you. The Clay Edwards Show. Men's Health of Mississippi. Get checked, guys. You won't regret it. Women, you get checked too. That number works for you as well. Text FREE, 601-327-8550. All right, let's take a call real quick. Mazda Jackson phone line. Not your average Joe. What's up, brother?
Hey, Clay. And Sean, thank you. You know, I've noticed this for a long, long time in the political debate back and forth. It seems like politics for a long time have become team sports. What I'm saying is, so like if you're a Democrat, you're supposed to believe in these issues. You're supposed to support these issues, whatever the Democrats support. If you're a Republican, you're supposed to support these issues. Mm-hmm. Whether it's abortion, so if abortion comes up, Democrats for it, Republicans against it. Now this whole transgender thing or all this other stupid stuff that comes up. I noticed the top of the hour news, they had a Democrat in Greenville, I think, was talking about the Safers Act. Well, it don't make anybody safe.
That's the one I was talking about. Nailed it. Thank you.
I mean, it's like, well, let's say keeping men predators out of a female bathroom in locker rooms, I think that does keep people safe. You know, but we've got, you know, you think if we would do away with the two parties, and I know this would be an idea, say we were on a church committee for the betterment of the church or a car club or community activist group or whatever, you know, safer community watch program, people would be able to come together and discuss issues that would be better for the community. But we don't do that in politics. It's like, I'm a Democrat, so I'm supposed to believe this way. You're a Republican, so you're supposed to support that.
Hey, let me say this.
Kind of set our critical thinking skills on the shelf.
Let me say this real quick. I don't want to lose this train of thought because it's good. On what he just said about the SAFE Act, and we had a conversation about why the blacks, we must be completely done. We must have erased racism now that the black delegation is caping for the trans community. If the SAFE Act doesn't keep people any safer, then can we eliminate hate crime laws too? Because clearly they're not keeping people any safer either. Let's see how they feel about that.
Look, like I said, critical thinking skills, common sense has been basically pushed out of the equation. It's like the Democrat National Committee says Democrats support this, so all Democrats have to support it. Now, like you were saying earlier in the conversation, is maybe your average guy on a farm in the Delta says, well, that's ridiculous. You know, I don't support that. I don't like guys dressing up in girls' clothes. But the elected officials who are Democrats have to support it because their party supports it. You know, where is the independent thought? And I want to say this too real quick. Sean, I really, really applaud your intellectual honesty.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You really have the ability to, even though you say you're a Democrat, I'm not sure if you're not or not, but you're able to look at issues as they stand, and I appreciate that.
Thanks. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Joe, appreciate you, brother. Great call as always.
Yes, thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Tackle what he said. I think he's absolutely right. And I know a lot of people, you know, call in and even on lines like, is Sean really a Republican? Which I think is funny because, you know what that tells me? I think about this a lot. That tells me that we can't be objective anymore. Like, we can't, like, you know, my policy positions have never really changed since the 90s. I mean, I'm still pro-choice. I'm still for single-payer health care. It's never changed. But just because I can say things like Donald Trump is taking the shaft here, which is obvious if you're being objective and you can see it, you know, or this transgender issue is crazy. Just things that are objectively, to me, obvious.
Yeah.
But I think Joe was like, right. I think what we do is instead we're on team red team. We're on blue team.
It's trouble.
And we're just everything that person says we have to agree with somehow. And you know, Republicans do this a lot of times too. And the same thing Democrats do. Like they just like, this is what my team said. And I'm going to do exactly what, even if I might think, wait, that's kind of stupid.
It has been refreshing, at least through my lens on my side, to see so many people on my side, this America First side, to stand up and go against the Republican industrial complex in Washington, to go against Mike Johnson or whoever the speaker is sending money all over the place. It's fine to say, now, you know, we're no longer going to go along to get along. We're going to tell you this crap is wrong. Let's take a call real quick. Yep. Hey, you're on there.
Hey, I really think like a lot of the problems that we have is, you know, obviously the world has been built upon lies, and the only true foundation is the truth. You know what I'm saying? And because we're getting away from the church and all that, you know, people are just kind of falling into whatever they think will work. And, you know, obviously God left one plan for everybody, but you know, with people following men, you know, things are obviously meant to go awry. And, you know, when it comes to the conditioning and the training of the people, you know, you just got to look at all the facts in history, just seeing that, like, the things that would have made sense that the government kind of worked against, you know, they push certain things and change up certain things, whether it's, you know, pharmaceutical regulations on medicines that have been approved for 25 plus years, and then saying like psych, I guess, no, we don't approve that or whatever, and then just, you know, completely just pushing stuff out on like I said, the pharmaceutical side, or whether you look at the racism side of America, where, you know, they want to be separate, and then when the blacks finally did kind of do their own thing, they burned it all down like Tulsa, you know. And there's just a bunch of different just historical moments where the government and the people are saying and doing one thing, and then out of nowhere they flip the switch, and that does one thing for conditioning, and that's like ruin everything that you have that's positive, because you got to reinforce with either negative or, you know, positive, you know, rewards, and depending on what you want, that's how you program people. And I think the people that are programming us are just idiots, because they're not based off of the Lord and off the Bible and off the truth.
Amen, brother. Great call. Thank you.
You know, I thought of something, too, about what you were saying about, you know, you guys are kind of rejecting some of the establishment Republicans and what they're doing. Something locally here that Republicans, you know, we're talking about me and rejecting Democrats' position here. This is something where I see Republicans rejected a position that I was always kind of surprised by, was the marijuana vote. And, you know, the political class of the Republicans were like, we can't have this because it's not conservative and this is drugs. And you saw all that rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
But the people overwhelmingly supported this. They're like, you know what? Wait a second, political class. We don't agree with you. We don't agree with what you're saying. You've sold us this for so many decades. And you know what? We think it's stupid. And so that's, I think,
liquor in Rankin County.
Liquor in Rankin County. There you go. Like, this is something that we've been sold, that we're not good conservatives if we you know, have a drink or, you know, get a medical marijuana card. You've sold us this bill of goods that we just happen not to agree with. And I think so. I think that's an example on your side of people doing that, you know, saying we're not listening to you.
Yeah, look, I mean, and you're seeing a lot of Democrat folks wake up too. I mean, I'm gonna go to the national. Well, I don't want to say you wake up because you've been the same guy.
Yeah,
you know, you're just, people are getting to hear these takes. Hmm. Bill Maher waking up. You can disagree with your party's agenda and still be a member of your party.
Yeah,
because you can still disagree with the other party more.
Right.
You know that. Yep. That's the part that people. Like, there, I'm telling you, man, there's an opportunity for a true political, what does Jameson say, an awakening?
Mm-hmm.
There's an opportunity for a third party somewhere in the middle there, or a complete takeover of the other two parties. I don't know how it happens, but I think we've outgrown this two-party system, to say the least.
I think so, too. It's not representing Americans anymore. I don't know if it ever did. You know, I mean, no. I think it was George Washington's one who said this, because he was not a member of a political party. Yep. He was the one who said that... that this is going to be the real danger of this, you know, republic, is parties. So.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. As we land the plane for the day, Jerry, I saw you calling, man. We just didn't have time to take your call. Appreciate y'all blowing up the Mazda Jackson phone line today. I do apologize for missing the first couple segments, but I appreciate Matthew Bishop and Sean Yuckron holding it down. I enjoyed hearing the Trump case talk. It's a nice change of pace around here. Sean, great job today. Y'all guys, be sure to tune in to Matthew every morning, every Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., followed, of course, by this train wreck of incendiary radio from 7 to 9 every Monday through Friday. We just won some kind of award, top 20 best news podcast in the state. We're number one in Central Mississippi. We're number two overall in the state. I question those numbers. I want to recount, but I'll take number one in my hometown. That's all I ever really cared about anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this to be statewide or worldwide or regional or anything. I want to be number one in Jacktown. I want to be the big fish in the little pond. I have no problem with that. Coming up next, it's Tuesday, I think another hour, the Chip Matthews Show, possibly. And Kim Wade, 4 to 6. I'll see y'all back tomorrow. Peace.